Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Invasion Wrap-Up Podcast for Episode 5. I am Brian Cohen. Here, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing well, but I feel like my mood is directly related to the quality of the episode. And maybe it's because I watched the episode shortly before we record, but... And I'm supposed to be a professional and blah, blah, blah. It's not supposed to be about how good the episode is. But I get, like, really bummed when I don't feel like the episode is that great. Just like I get really jacked up when it's great.
You know, so I actually did enjoy this one. I feel like we've been on the opposite page of, like, every episode so far this season. Because I did enjoy this one.
It's not that I didn't enjoy it. I just kind of thought it was one note. Like, it was just even keel kind of the whole way. Like, it wasn't like I was bored watching it. I'm just not amped up from it.
I guess that's true. I found it pretty intriguing, mainly because I think it depends when you're going into what expectations. Like, for people who always get upset about, oh, there's no challenge this week or no elimination this week, like, I, after the first 10 minutes, I knew, okay, this is just an entire episode based on the elimination. So I eliminated any possibility of the story moving forward than where we were last week. So I was, like, fine with that. And then I just, like, enjoyed it for what it was. And I found the eliminations to be pretty intriguing.
Yeah, I guess it just was like, it was fine. But we will, maybe you'll convince me as we keep talking about it. The only thing saving my attitude today is the multiple 5-star reviews we got this week on iTunes. I just want to thank Chrissy Nick 1122. Songs We Sing. I was like, Songs We Sing? She Be Rose. And I think I already thanked this person, but who cares? Oh, so Olivia, thank you guys so much. If you want to let us know how you feel about the show, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/challengeiTunes and make my day as opposed to how I feel about this episode.
Yeah, if you leave your review on like a Wednesday, Thursday, you may get read twice. So you never know.
Depends on how bad my memory is at the time. Right now, pretty bad.
Yeah, so you never know.
And I'm just going to, I don't know if you have anything for tweets. I don't have corrections or tweets this week because I have not watched the episode of Survivor yet. I'm watching tonight and I didn't want to risk it. I couldn't sacrifice my viewing of Survivor to read tweets. I apologize.
The only tweet thing I have is, did you happen to see that I got blocked by Cara Maria this week?
No, I didn't see that.
I didn't think I did everything that wrong, but I can, let me pull up the tweet. Hopefully I can still read it because I don't know if I actually can read her original tweet.
She tweeted at you and then said,
no,
blocked.
She had a tweet and I quote tweeted, responded, and then she blocked me.
You probably can't see it then.
I might be able to, because sometimes it still kind of shows. Where is it? Here we go. She said... Nope, I'm blocked.
It was everyone else knew but you that you weren't going to be able to see it.
It was basically to the sense of like, I'm very protective over the challenge and I don't like having all these people from new shows coming on it. So I said, BRB going to go binge Cara season of The Real World. Oh, wait, .. And then she blocked me.
That's kind of stupid for her to block it, but...
And then she blocked me. So there
okay.
you go.
I like you say you think, like you're still not 1,000% sure. She blocked you.
No, well, because when I was looking at it a couple days later, I still was able to see like the retweet of the tweet, but not. But now I can't. So now it's just fully gone. There you go.
No, you gotta do the like low key mocking that I've been engaging now. When someone tweets something ridiculous, like for mostly Are You the One, I'll just retweet it and write same. Because you're just like the most absurd shit. You're just like same exact. So I feel like if you did like you retweeted her with same, she thinks she may even give you a favorite. Like I've had people on mocking favorite that stuff.
You're saying the MTV people aren't actually very smart and aren't very good at picking up social cues.
Hold on. Okay, I've gone into her tweets when she was tweeting about this like 4 days ago.
Yeah, it was March 5th. You broke the firewall.
I am jealous. I'm a jealous lover and territorial over at Challenge MTV. When another MTV show says it's going to be a part of our group, nope, this is my house. Yeah. I will defend my challenge house to the death, I say. Listen, Stranded and Are You the One and other randoms, gloves off, mother effers.
Yeah.
Are You the One, Stranded, etc. You can't sit with us. And then somebody else wrote, says the person never on Real World or Road Rules. And she wrote, nope, says the person whose debut show was direct to the challenge. I was born on the challenge, pure challenge blood in my veins, homie. I actually don't disagree with her.
My point was, oh no, keep going.
And she says, in other words, a battle of the MTV shows would settle the storm. Let's find out who is the best once and for all. Isn't that what the challenge is?
Yeah.
And then somebody else wrote, you really shouldn't saying this, given you're from Fresh Meat. You're in the same boat as Ari the One and Stranded, honestly. And she wrote, not the same. My original show was the challenge. I was literally made on the actual show that people are doing other shows to get on. And then she just kept saying shit to other people in the same way. So she wouldn't dignify your hate with a response, but she did respond to others with similar sentiments.
Yeah, I just got the block. That's all I got.
So sad.
Yeah.
Sorry, make your point though.
I added her to her tweet, so maybe she's found this very offensive, but I said, point being, she was only on the show because they decided to search other avenues for contestants. And that apparently was too vicious for her to handle.
Fair enough. The show, our podcast starts with Car Maria, and the episode kicks off with Car Maria, which I thought this Nicole Cara wrestling scene was aggressive yet adorable. However, for somebody who's like talking all this mess in confessionals that she's not into Nicole, like, you have a funny way of showing it.
Yeah, she played a little hard to get. I still find this whole intrigue so bizarre, knowing that Nicole's gonna end up with Laurel. It's like the first chapter of like a book, and I'm waiting to see like when things start developing with her and Laurel.
I don't think she's playing hard to get. I think she's saying that she's not into her, but then flirting with her and touching her all up and down like crazy. Like, I mean, this is not just pure Nicole. I'm just saying, I call bullshit on her not even being a little bit into it.
Oh, sure. I think she just likes the attention. She likes being chased. Who doesn't? It's fun.
Yeah, this was like just two jacked, beefy women wrestling. I like Banana's face kind of says it all throughout. There's a lot of great facial work done by both Banana's and Laurel throughout the whole episode. It starts off strong here in the first minute, and really transition. Laurel's face brings us right with the Jenna and Zach moment.
Yeah, we got a lot of Jenna and Zach this episode, and it's not good for my girl Jenna. She's not looking good.
I mean, and so close in and around International Women's Day, too. It's like, can the ladies get a break here?
But I mean, she really wants to try to mend the fence. And Zach's like kind of putting up the show as if he wants to, even though he's still a giant asshole and just pretending and being a douchebag. But so far, she's buying it.
I don't even think there's a fence to mend. Like, she took down the fence. The construction workers came, cleared out all the debris. It's just a complete free and clear path for him. And I mean, it's not even like they're working on things. Like, they don't even address it at all and just go right back into the relationship mode, which I do kind of feel bad because it seems like they do have a strong relationship, a strong connection. And it was actually nice and refreshing to see someone say nice things about Jenna. Like, to hear him say that she's smart and she's funny and all this, and she knows him so well. And aside from, as Laurel says, like, him dogging her on national television, I would be rooting for them. I do feel bad. I mean, it also just bothers me when guys like laugh and own up to their issues as though that's a solution. So he's like, haha, yeah, I'm the worst. I'm a terrible boyfriend. Oh, well. Like, that's not enough. The first step is admitting you have a problem, but there are like 50 other steps you need to take after that, douchebag.
Yeah. Jennifer O'Hara said, anyone surprised at how self-aware Zach was this episode?
No. What was her name? Back. Jennifer?
Jennifer O'Hara?
Jennifer, do not give him credit. This self-awareness is all bullshit. It's a strategy so that he seems like trustworthy because he's aware of his issues. But I used to joke that I'm the most self-aware person who refuses to make any changes. Like, I know I'm loud and annoying, but I'm not going to do anything about it. But I'm not hurting people, Zach.
Right. Yeah, it's one thing to be self-aware, and it's another thing to do something off that. And Zach, I mean, there's no evidence that he would do anything to change that. I mean, he left Ashley. He left John A. He left Jenna. I'm sure he's going to leave Jenna again. I'm sure he's going to leave whoever next again. He's just an asshole.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, he says, I'm an asshole, so he seems like trustworthy, but it's bullshit. Also, God, MTV, do we really need the freaking reminder about how terrible that scene with Jay, John A, Zach, and Jenna was?
I didn't fully remember when Jay was like, oh, you're not going to do anything. You're a bitch. You're not going to do anything. And then he just straight up made out with Jenna. That was actually really funny. Maybe because I think I may hate Jay more than I hate Zach. So it was really, really funny.
He also blocked you, right?
Yeah. He blocked me. He's another one.
Yeah, I mean, that was just like terribly disgusting because like Jay's still in love with Jenna.
To be fair, that blocking was probably more deserved. But yeah.
I mean, listen, you can't take the heat. Get out of the Twitter kitchen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
God, I am tired. Sorry about that. But yeah, this was the facial expression heard around the world. I wasn't ready to say it here, but by the end of the episode, I was ready to redeclare the new Mitch Watch as obviously Laurel. I forget who I said it was last time. I lied.
I think you said it was it Nicole eating the peanut butter?
Yeah, but Laurel's facial expressions here of her just chomping with her mouth open in complete disgust really serves two purposes. One, it's hysterical, and two, it makes you disgusted because you're like seeing someone chew with their mouth open, and then that coincidentally is the feeling she wants you to feel about Zach and Jenna. It's just really brilliant facial work by Laurel.
Spoiler alert, that will be the thumbnail for the link for this podcast because they already found the picture of it, so we have that.
Booyah.
And Nathan Deacon agreed. He said that was the moment of the night. So you gotta go. Go Laurel.
Reading comments now. Edgy. Yeah,
I'm pulling up. I got a lot of chirping from not bringing enough comments. I'm bringing them all in. So here we go. Here's another one. Emily Crow says, is it just me or is Laurel coming off far more likable than her other seasons?
But that's a question.
Well, questions, comments.
You bring up comments, you bring questions.
Everything. I'm bringing everything.
What was the question? I got distracted by the fact that it was a question.
Is Laurel coming off more likable?
I feel like Laurel's pretty likable. I don't have an issue with Laurel's likability. I don't know. Is that something you feel?
I could see why people don't like Laurel. I think it's also only been one episode, so we have to give Laurel more time to become unlikable, which I'm sure there will be a moment where people feel that way. So, you know, give her time.
With the exception of the outrage moments in her life, I'm just saying, like, I think overall my impression of Laurel walking away from each season is that I like her, despite her flaws. I'm always happy to see her. But yeah, all we really have are the facial expressions. So yes, based on that alone, she's purely likable.
But write that quote from last week, right? A lot of people think I'm mean, even though I don't think I'm mean. So there you go. That's Laurel.
Oh my God. I actually have an appointment to get that tattooed on my forehead next week.
There we go.
I want to know from you now that, spoiler alert, Kayla gets bounced this episode and we have this scene with Kayla. Kayla's like a bit, I don't remember where you stood on Kayla from the real world, and do you feel, have you liked her on this season?
Like is like an interesting, I mean, I don't know about like. I'm entertained by her, definitely. I'm glad
she's like her,
right? I just like her. Like, I like that she's part of this world, but like, would I wanna be friends with her? Probably not. Like, she seems like a wackadoodle character, but she's perfect for this world.
This scene here with her and Corey, I feel like if I were not podcasting, I might just like watch through this scene and think nothing of it. But as a person with a microphone and no experience, I had to think deeper about this. Mm-hmm. And my immediate reaction wasn't anything. My second reaction to this was, can we just imagine the backlash if Corey were the one saying some of these things? Basically what happens, Corey exits, doesn't want to stay in a bed with her, is disgusted by her from the night before, her drunken antics from before. And then she says, I always get what I want. I won't take no as much as you beg and plead. And then uses this emotional manipulation of, this could be my last night in the house. If you cared about me, you'd stay in bed with me. And then they have sex. Mm-hmm. Like, could we just imagine how different this podcast would be if Corey was the one saying that?
Corey would be burning at the stake right now.
I have a real problem with the way she like approaches, and who knows what her confessional was really about. She never really like said, she was like, I get what I want and I don't take no. And then they like showed her seducing Corey or pressuring Corey. So we don't necessarily know that that's like what she said that about, but that was a real problem. I did not like that scene.
I mean, that's kind of like the major female arsenal, right? Is the emotional manipulation. That's what she would thrive in.
I totally disagree. I think men do that all the time. You see Zach doing it to Jenna. Like, when,
so maybe
Zach,
it's just the asshole move.
Jumping ahead quickly, like when I love the challenge because you just see these like classic relationship nightmare scenarios that just like always happen. You like see these patterns in like a 10 second chunk. But when Zach, when Camilla's like, are you guys a thing? And Zach's like, yeah, we're a thing. And he's like defining the relationship and pressuring Jenna. Jenna is loving that because he's like demonstrating commitment. But to Zach, it means absolutely nothing because he cheats on every single person. So like he's willing to say, yeah, we're in a relationship to get Jenna on board with him. And then like actually doesn't respect the definition of a relationship at all. So I feel like that's just equally as emotionally manipulating.
So maybe Zach and Kayla should be a couple. They seem like perfectly for each other. They can each manipulate each other to doing everything that each person wants.
Be a, say that five times fast.
A cycle of manipulation.
Anyway, that's it from Dr. I was going to say Dr. Oz, but he's a real doctor. Dr. Phil over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so, all right. Were you not rubbed the wrong way by this Kayla and Corey thing?
I was really rubbed the wrong way. I was more just confused that I thought like they were just completely done. And then like Kayla's like, oh, well, I'm going to just go hook up with him again. And he was okay with it. They were both. I was like, did last week not happen with her crying, him shitting on her and all that stuff?
Oh, somebody did. I'm going to get yelled at because I'm moving my microphone too much. Sorry. We did get a tweet. Somebody said to us that Kayla or Corey did an interview and said mm-hmm. that Kayla was actually an earshot, but then Corey like apologized immediately and whatever.
Oh, no, so I listened to Kayla wasn't. She was not an earshot. She didn't hear that. But even still, like he
did.
Still,
you not
like,
see the tweet? Am I making up that tweet though?
I don't know, but if unless Corey says something different, but I heard an interview. Ashley Badazzo was heard the same thing that Kayla was on the No Quitters thing, and she said that she didn't hear anything that Corey said until this week's episode or last week's
okay,
episode.
Okay, well, I don't know where I got that information, but regardless,
but still,
I feel like that was solved sort of by you seeing like Corey, like the television show resolved that arc by saying like seeing Corey refusing to sleep with her and then Kayla working it out.
I guess, but I was just more confused on her end. She was so devastated that and then she still wanted to make up with it. So I don't know. It was just so bizarrely edited that it was just like put together so quickly.
Yeah, for a change.
Yeah.
Speak bizarre editing. Okay, this made no sense. Can you explain the Sylvia Nelson thing? Because that happened in like a 2 second blip, and all of a sudden he was freaking the hell out.
Out of nowhere. Really weird move. And it's a weird move to be like, oh, the person I really like is not here, so now I'm turning to you. And you say that to the person, not even like behind their back. He's very honest to a fault.
I don't know. That was just strange. I didn't even see them. Like, was that really all that happened with them? And then he blew up. Like, I don't know. I have doubts that that could possibly be a human reaction, even drunk.
Blame it on the alcohol.
Is that how you think it goes?
That's what he did. He blamed it on the alcohol in the morning.
Okay. I just want you to listen to the song and hear that they don't pronounce the C, but
what?
Alka. You're many things, but a songstress doesn't seem to be one of them.
No, I never pretended I was. I just fake it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't blame Sylvia at all, though, here for rejecting Nelson. Maybe she wasn't that into him, or maybe it's just like you literally are only approaching me because your girl went home.
Well, talk about an unlikable duo those two would be. Good God.
Well, all of a sudden, Sylvia, like, am I supposed to like Sylvia now? I'm confused. She's like now in the majority of the house.
No, I don't. You don't have to like her because I don't. So it's okay. You could still hate her.
Thank you for the permission.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Okay. If I've seemed distracted at all, it's because I've been looking for this tweet. I'm going to look again later because I swear to God this happened. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Blame it on the tweet-to-tweet-to-tweet-to-tweeter.
No, you don't pronounce the it would be, in that case, it would be tweet-to-tweet-to-tweet, like, not tweet-ter. Anyway, no one cares about this.
Tony and Camilla are all good.
Well, the only thing I'll say about this Tony thing is, like, with Nelson, if Tony's looking at you and thinking, oh, thank God I've changed, you have a real problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's Tony's, like, before pick now, and that's terrible.
Tony's the voice of reason this season. He's been so calm and level-headed.
I completely agree with TJ's assessment of, like, I don't know what you did with the old Tony, but I like this new guy.
I think there's a good balance, though. I think we could have a little bit of the old Tony, which is still very fun, without him, you know, getting really close to, like, beating up Camilla and throwing bottles across the room. I think there's a way that he can be fun and not that level.
See, I like his... I feel like we're still getting the good parts of his, like, absurdly dumb things that he says and his, like, weird rationale for things, his, like, over-emotion, but we're not getting the alcoholism. So...
I guess so. I guess good for him.
You don't really mean it.
Of course, I'm rooting for Tony to be a good person in life. I'm happy for CT. Like, I don't need CT to be a, you know, face-eating monster again. I'm happy for him. He's got a good life.
That's a good point, though. CT really did find the balance. I mean, not this season. We're not going to get any real fun from him, but he did hit the point where he was, like, full Tony and then dialed it back to give you, like, moderate drinking and relationship drama.
He was also full Tony for, like, 15 years. Tony was Tony for, like, a year and a half.
I don't know. Tony's been Tony off air, I imagine,
that's
also.
True. That's probably true. That's how we got kid number two.
The thing with CT as the dad, I don't know how people are feeling about this. I don't know what the people on the street are saying. I'm curious to hear what you think about this. First of all, the fact that he calls his kid Fatso Buddha and Fat Face is freaking amazing.
It's the best.
But I had mixed feelings about the proposition of CT coming back. Not when they announced him back, but, like, my feeling is, like, if CT says he's done, then he's done and leave him alone and don't beg him or tempt him or whatever. If he decides he wants to come, I don't know how this sort of came about with him coming back. But I'm so happy he did now, because I feel like we, and I tend to talk shit about people who get so invested in television characters and think they're whatever. We needed, I think, when CT said, I'm in a good place, my immediate reaction was, like, we needed to hear this. Like, this is the closure from the DM stuff that I feel like the world needed, the Challenge fans needed to see, that CT is doing well. And I don't mind that he's just taking up a spot here on the show and giving us almost nothing besides pictures of his son.
The evolution of CT is maybe hyperbole, but is one of, like, the great story arcs of any TV character in history. From where he was to, like, what he's gone through to everything he's done to the, like, now where he is, it's like Shakespearean without the tragedy. Except the tragedy was in the middle, not at the
I was
end.
Like, wait.
The tragedy not at the end, in the middle. But he's, like, overcome it.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt such, like, full circle feels on this. I'm happy we have him. And I also feel like I like that he's, like, he's stirring some shit up in the house. He's just not involved at all, which is good.
Yeah. I'm all in on the CT. Although, I mean, this could be his, like, final chapter, and I'd be totally fine with that also. I feel like this is the perfect closer. And if CT wants to just keep doing this, I'm not going to be upset. But this was a good potential last statement.
Totally, totally agree. This next part is when Jenna and Zach have that moment that pisses me off. But I will say credit to Bananas, because Bananas' face and reaction throughout this whole thing is, like, exactly how I was feeling. I don't even need to say it. Just go back to the tape.
You had me at Bananas was absolutely right, so.
Did I say Bananas was absolutely right? I feel like I said his face. I don't feel like I said that.
Close. I twisted the words in my head to, like, get it.
Well, you have an illness. It's called Bananasitis. Yeah, then I forgot, like, this episode was just, maybe this was the issue with the episode for me, is, like, we get to this point and now we just have the vote in. Like, I forgot that we had left off at such a shitty part of the last episode.
Yeah, we really did leave off at a weird cliffhanger. Not at any, like, challenge or nomination. It was just Kayla crying in bed.
Were you surprised at the people they decided to throw in?
No, because, I mean, that's kind of the way the house was shaken out. No one really flipped. I mean, I guess it was good to see Nicole kind of stand by Tony and give him what he wanted. But other than that, I mean, were you expecting Nelson to flip? I would be stunned if that would have happened.
I was more surprised at Corey saying what he said about voting in Ashley. Because we've touched on this last week where it was like, were they still rivals? Like, I thought they were in a good place. And then Corey says this, like, really nasty bit about how they're rivals for a reason, and she's proven that, and he's going to throw it back her way. And I'm like, if I recall, she gave him who he wanted when she could pick Shane. Was it that mm-hmm. just that she picked Tony and that was the hit?
I guess so. Yeah, that was kind of weird. I did think they kind of mended fences there, but I don't know. Maybe she's kind of forcing that. I don't know. They've always had a weird dynamic, and Ashley's always like a weird person. Also, they kind of put her finger on.
I would have maybe just expected Corey to have said, like, you know, unfortunately, we're on two separate sides of the house, and this is what Tony mm-hmm. wants. Like, for him to make it so personal, I mean, Corey often lets his ego do that, but it's almost like she could still potentially be a resource for him down the road, especially because she wins challenges. So it's like, mm-hmm. You don't want to give her a reason to throw your ass in. So if I were him, I would want to keep, like, we're teammates, but, you know, I would never say your name normally, but, like, you know, I have to do what Tony wants. You put him in and whatever.
I mean, I think it's becoming clear that Corey's social game is just, like, he's like likable on TV, but to a lot of people, maybe he's just not in the house. He doesn't know how to fake it. Like, that's kind of a problem for him.
Which, in a way, then you at least know what you're getting, like, better the devil you know. But I just thought this was like unnecessary bitterness. Mm-hmm.
At least he didn't go the Hunter round and just say, like, I don't like you as a person, so I'm voting you in.
Hunter is so weird to me.
He is so butthurt over this. It has to be that Kayla was flirting with him and then she blew him off, right? Like, that's the yeah. only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, it is a very, he's a very strange guy. He looks weird. Like, I'm not in on Hunter. And I feel like I worry we're going to see him again, and I already don't want to.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how he does. See how he does.
Not that I thought Nelson was going to flip, but do you think this was the right strategic move for Nelson?
I don't know. It's a tough dynamic because he's not really friends with them, but he's also not really like one of the stronger people. He pretends he thinks he is, but he's really not. So he really should be going the route of Shane and trying to keep his friends because that's what he's going to need to get to the end.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair assessment because I'm deceived by Nelson, but you're right when you like break down his actual performance. But in a way, it's like, okay, you vote in Kayla because of the numbers and your alliance. But really, best case scenario is she wins and votes out. I mean, like Sylvia loses and you lose. Or not best case scenario, but worst case scenario is Kayla wins. Okay, so they have another number over you, but you lose Sylvia, who's supposedly dead weight in the challenges. So you're mm-hmm. you're kind of golden either way.
Do we know that Dario and Ashley couldn't vote in this?
Did like they before? Not vote?
No, they weren't. He was like, he's just like, you guys already voted, so you don't vote now.
That's weird, because did that happen in the shelter?
Well, that's
no.
why it was. That's why it was 3-2, because, I mean, there's six people.
Right, right. Did they just not want a tie?
I that's what I'm guessing, but then wouldn't they have
a
worry
wouldn't have
about,
been a tie.
They could have a tie next week.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. MTV works in mysterious ways.
Who knows?
Another confusing thing. You think about the important parts of the show. I think about who is calling Sylvia scrawny and unmasculine. What does that even mean?
The unmasculine is kind of weird. Isn't that I feel like that would be not like a compliment, but would it be worse for a woman to call masculine?
Yeah, I just thought that was such a strange thing. Also, I'd never described Sylvia as scrawny. I feel like she was just looking for like weak. People think I'm weak. And instead she said scrawny and unmasculine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the unmasculine is a weird insult.
I'm going to put that on my LinkedIn. Like, please endorse me in unmasculinity.
Who do you think called her unmasculine? Like, who would be the leading contender to say that?
I think she's just trying to read people's minds. Hmm. People think this.
Seems
I
like
can
a
tell
Nelson
how they look. They look at me like I'm unmasculine.
It's a weird thing. I can see Nelson saying that after she wouldn't hook up with him. He's like, oh, she's so unmasculine.
Does Nelson like to hook up with masculine women?
I don't know. He's a weird dude.
Would you say LaToya is masculine?
I don't know. I feel like we're getting in trouble. I'm going to say no.
anything else but this now with Shane. What do you think of Shane's little like mental ninja tricks here with Tony after the vote?
It's so transparent to like the normal folk that like it shouldn't bother you, but because he's doing it to Tony, I you could tell it was getting under his skin. like, even though it's so obvious he was just doing the try to, like, needle him and poke him and get him agitated, it still worked. You could tell Tony was like, that's my Tony Edgar impression.
That sounds like a scrawny and unmasculine dog. No, I mean, I think you're totally right on about, like, this not working on most people. But you see, like, when... was it Sylvia against Jenna when Sylvia mind ninja Jenna, or is that somebody?
No, wait.
It was Anika.
Anika. Yeah.
And but it's almost like, why do these? I get the smiling and looking excited, and I love the line of, if I look good if I win, and it's fine if I lose, and you're a loser either way because if you win, you just beat me. Like, I thought that was amazing, but. I think the whole, you think you're so strong, why do you want to go against someone weak, might have been more effective as, like, a way to try to convince him to call someone else out. Like, it's almost wasted at this moment in time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But it's kind of like the first chance. Like, if he wins this, I don't think he can say it again. This is kind of his chance to, like, prove himself. Now, if he wins, I don't think people are getting to be like, oh, he's super weak.
Also, do we think Shane is weak? Like, I forget even his performance in the challenge. Like, I don't look at Shane weak. Is it just weak? Is that just because he was one of the last guys to get a ticket to the Oasis and he's, like, older?
Yeah, I think it's just the older. He's unknown. I mean, I think Nelson's probably the weakest of everyone on the left, but no one's going to think that because he just doesn't look it, but he probably is.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting... because of this, like, play-in round before the Oasis, nobody's, like, superior... like. On either side, I don't really think there's, like, a clear weakling.
No. I agree.
And Tony wouldn't say that there's any weak spot in his game at all, because he's pretty decent at everything.
Yeah, that's the line that's going on my resume. Pretty decent at everything.
Mediocre at best.
Yeah, mediocre at best.
What did you think of TJ's little reason to be here question?
Very bizarre. I don't know where it came from, but their answers were even weirder. Sylvia wants to open an event space. Like, what? Where did that go? What does that even mean? Like, for her, like, parties and, like,
her own event space. And I love that, as opposed to, like, just working at someone else's. I'd like my own event space.
And Shane wants to, you know, put Charleston on the map for gay tourism. So that's an answer.
I thought Kayla's response was the weirdest. I mean, they were all weird, but besides Tony, like, doing it for the kids. Kayla, who wants to prove it, like, everyone had this, like, I want to prove myself and a real answer. And Kayla was like, I want to prove myself to everyone, and I want to make my dad happy and let him, like, prove that I'm a competitor. What has Kayla's home life been like that her dad is like, you can't compete?
I don't know. Does everyone have, like, daddy issues? We know about Ashley, but, like, does Kayla have something going on at home? I don't know what's happening.
I don't love the phrase daddy issues. I feel like I've said that before.
Yeah. I feel like that's been an argue the what thing. You really hate that.
Yeah, because it's like everyone's bios are always like, I have daddy issues.
Do you think he's going to ask it to the champs next week? I'd love to be like, so bananas, what are you trying to achieve here? Laura, what are you here for? I don't know, TJ, I've been doing this for 20 years. What do you think I'm here for?
I'm here for the 50 grand you're going to cut me at the end of this, whether I win or not.
Seriously, that's what I'm here for. Cast the check.
This moment is when I feel like Laurel really emerged as the Mitch watch, because her face was, like, unbelievable, like, watching at this moment. So everyone watch the Zach and Jenna moment. Please go back and check Laurel's face in the crowd of at the Fortress.
Ooh, I didn't catch that. I'll have to go back. I missed that.
Do it. What'd you think of this challenge?
Tuk tuk bang bang.
I love Darrell. Oh my god.
I just love CJ say tuk tuk. It was the most awkward two words he's ever said in his entire life.
I love Darrell saying that, like, Tony's got the bang bang down because he has two kids, but he's not moving this tuk tuk.
It's kind of low-hanging fruit, but it still makes me laugh every time.
Oh, because you've never taken it.
Oh, no, as I'm saying, it's low-hanging, and I take it every time because it makes me laugh every time, so I don't have any problem with saying it.
Were you surprised that Sylvia won here?
Very. I was actually surprised with both. Actually, when I saw Sylvia win, I wasn't as surprised with Shane winning, because I realized that this isn't just, like, a brute force type of thing. Like, you actually need some thought process and strategy, and I those are two things that Tony does not excel in.
Well, I just thought with Sylvia v. Kayla, it was really a I'm going to take credit away and I'm going to give credit. I'm going to give credit to Sylvia because her endurance was there. That's where Kayla lost it. Cause they were like pretty neck and neck for a while until Kayla like couldn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. The other thing though is like Sylvia's got to have like 50 pounds on Kayla, right? Like I do think just your mass plays a role in how you could move this thing.
I think the bigger thing is that she's so much shorter. I think having the easier way to get the lower center of gravity and the lower being able to hit the tuck-tuck on the smaller plane really helped. But I think the shorter part mattered more.
That's true. And that's like, we didn't get this line from Sylvia, but I feel like Shane was more intentionally strategic, whereas I think Sylvia kind of lucked out that her method was working. I don't know if mm-hmm. she like really demonstrated that she was aware going lower would help. Until she was like screaming at a chain after it was over.
Right, right, right. But yeah, I was very surprised. I thought the way it went down, I thought it would go down the exact opposite, which Sylvia would tire out and Kayla would be able to pull through. So, you know what? I still hate Sylvia, but good for her. That was an impressive one. Good for her.
I did love the added effect of taking the loser out on that ripcord. I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah, I wish they didn't even come back. I wish they just like flung them all the way out and that was the last time we saw Kayla.
He waved gone. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I hated how TJ reinforces it when Shane wins and he's like, strategy really outweighed strength today. Like neither of them are weak after being able to do this. Like I don't like that TJ like leans into that narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of got to hit though, because it was unexpected. I mean, I think the majority of people were rooting, at least for audience wise, were probably rooting for Tony and Kayla. Although maybe split between Tony and Shane, but I think more people wanted to see Kayla win than Sylvia.
I would be hard pressed to find someone beyond Sylvia's immediate family.
Yeah.
That was rooting for her. I was rooting for Shane. I like Shane a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I was more fine with Shane winning than I was with Sylvia winning. I just really hate Sylvia. There's just something about her that rubs me really the wrong way.
Who are you voting for in Corey's hookup poll?
Great question.
I thought that was one of the funniest things that we've seen all season.
I think if there were some odds on Ashley, if Hunter goes home, I could see them rekindling things. Like a hate type thing.
Wait, did they hook up?
Didn't they hook up in like the first episode of Real World? Second episode? At some point they probably did.
That's like a real stretch to say they're going to rekindle things. I thought you meant like last season.
I just meant
season.
Like for a one-time thing, yeah.
Oh, so they'll kindle things.
So they'll kindle, sure. I don't think she's the favorite, but if you gave me like decent odds, I would take the odds.
I would say that it's more likely Corey pulls the robbery on Dario with Ashley. The other Ashley.
I do think they are a thing, though, officially. So that's why I wouldn't.
Oh, Dario that. And Ashley are dating now?
At least there was Instagram posts with them.
Ooh. So, intrigue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good for Dario.
Morph to distract me right now. Bringing back to one of Ashley's exes, Bruno, can you set the scene on this airplane diddle heard around the world?
So it seemed like this was just a rumor brought up completely. I'm going to say this phrase and I'm going to say it's completely true again from the clouds. From it seemed like Ashley and Amanda and that crew that Bruno and Jenna did some form of hooking up on the plane over to wherever they are.
I mean, I don't know. I think, why would they totally make this up, right? Like, it almost kind of, I'm a big believer where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, to completely make this up out of thin air is kind of smart. I don't think it went down the way they did. Like, I think Ashley did a pretty good description of what probably happened, which is, like, maybe they made out at some point, and then Ashley started telling people as a joke that they hooked up. And then now everyone's saying that.
I kind of think nothing happened, and I kind of respect them for coming up with this lie. It's kind of, it's like, it's not exactly what they Bananas and Vince Vail did to Abram, in fact, because like that was true, but it's a good way to get someone off their game. And I mean, clearly Jenna's the most dominant underdog girl. And I mean, I know it's still a team, but you don't really, if it goes individual, maybe you want her like rattled a little bit, and this is a good way to rattle her.
Wait. You really think these three people came up with this as a strategic move.
It seemed like they just completely made it up. So, like, why else would they do it unless they're just evil people? Like, there had to be some rationale.
I'm going with it happened, they kissed or something, and then they blew it out of proportion.
Jenna's reaction, maybe, really, I don't think anything happened.
Oh my God, if nothing happened, I don't think Jenna would have been so upset.
She was upset because she was worried about Zach. I feel bad for Jenna.
She wasn't even saying it didn't happen. Nicole was the one saying it didn't happen. She was just crying.
She said nothing happened at all.
Well, yeah, she said that, but she wasn't like crying, oh my God, nothing happened. Like her reaction, it was like, which this was like very painful to watch when she's like, after he cheated on me and it was revealed on national television and we broke up, if he even hears a rumor that I, while single, kiss someone else, he'll be done with me. That is some controlling bullshit.
Yeah, shocker, Zach. As he said, not a good boyfriend. Or not a good whatever they are right now.
I do love how MTV played a song called Let It Bang while this was going on. That was pretty funny.
This scene probably wasn't even within the same stratosphere or time period, but they just had, when they had CT and Zach working out together, it seemed like CT knew what was going on in some weird, like, psychotic way that he just knew. But again, because he had like a little squint in his eye. But I don't know, I enjoyed it.
Well, he was there for the initial the intake, as we in the biz call it, during the attorney interview or whatever with the investigation.
But I'm sure like that workout scene was probably from like 2 weeks later or something. But
well, no, then Zach popped in through the window.
Oh, that okay. So there you go. Maybe that happened.
Because this was the biggest bullshit of all the many bullshits, is that Jenna is like confronting Bananas, and like a true bully, when you confront a bully, he's got absolutely nothing to say. So he's the one stirring the pot, asking all these questions, spreading the shit. And then he's like, I was just saying, like, I don't know if that happened. Like, Amanda was saying it. He can't own up to anything.
Never. Neither did Amanda, though.
Yes, she did. She went in and was like, I heard that happened, so I said it.
I guess so. She was the one. She was kind of perking it up to all of them, though.
Yeah, I feel like she owned up to it, though. She was like, yeah, I said that.
Mm. A little bit.
More than you'd ever get from Bananas.
That's fair.
And then I love how Jenna's like, this is the worst feeling ever. I'm like, really? Worse than when he cheated on you and you found out while you were competing on a reality show?
She's poor Jenna. This poor girl. MTV, why are you doing this to her?
Don't do the poor girl to her. That won't work.
I feel bad.
I feel the same way I felt before we started the podcast, that this was just a mediocre episode where nothing really happened except an elimination.
All right. That's fair.
But enjoyable nonetheless. Enjoyable nonetheless. Just not like level one, the challenge. I hope we get back to a regular schedule next week.
No, it definitely wasn't level one, but it was. So how many levels are there? Five? Four?
No, it's just level one or it isn't.
Okay. So I guess it's not.
I mean, you can do Brian levels. I'd love to hear your breakdown of the Brian levels. But
right, so if level one is the best and level five is the worst, I'll say this was like level three. Level three.
You're not going to get me. You're never going to get me above a four if you don't have a challenge and an elimination in the same episode.
See, I disagree.
Except for last week.
The challenge is usually like the most boring part. So kind of cutting that out, and I'm fine with it.
I just want everything I came for. I want a club scene or a hookup drinking scene. I want a challenge. I want a vote in. I want an elimination. And then I want an afterwards to tease me into the next episode. I came for it all. I want it all. It's like I'm going to dinner. I want the three courses. If you shortchange me the dessert, I'm not going to forget about it. That's how I feel.
Fair.
Being very Jersey right now. I'm not going to forget about it.
Fair enough. Do you think we'll get it? We haven't had a club scene yet. Hopefully we get it next week.
Or just something like even the Kayla peeing. Great. Give me the drunken drama stage one. What do you think about Camilla, by the way, passing hard judgment of like, yeah, you go to the gym and you piss all over yourself drunk. That never helps you in the challenge.
Yeah, Camilla's never done anything on national TV that she ever regrets. So she's got a lot of weight to stand on.
I thought that was like pretty ballsy coming from her.
And of course, she had to like do the classic MTV Fed line where she was, I can invade your game. Sometimes you think they told her to say something like that when she was drunk and like just trying to fit it into conversation.
My notes from that just say, I can't with this drunk Camilla combo. I have no idea what happened in that exchange. I was just like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
No exaggeration.
Fairly rated. Fairly rated.
I don't know that I have anything else. Do we have any more questions? Or are we shortchanging the people this week?
I can ask a couple more questions. Haley Strong says, what flirting technique was most flawed? Nicole's throwing Kara around or Nelson throwing furniture around?
I think the Nicole thing has a much higher probability of working.
I agree. I think there's a better chance of Kara and Nicole hooking up than Sylvia and Nelson hooking up.
Although I feel like we know that there's no chance it does happen, but in like in a vacuum, like I think the semi-naked wrestling has probably a better chance of working.
Mm-hmm. John Densford said, I love Tony, but is there anyone whose legend far exceeds their results to this degree? Has he made it the fifth episode of any challenge season? Are there any comparisons for a character like Tony to eventually break through after several early exits?
Yeah, when we were talking earlier about like Tony being a strong guy, I was kind of like, is he? I feel like he has, his early exits are usually from spleen rupture or getting eliminated, getting bounced out for fighting, though, right? Like, I don't know that we can count those two.
So this is his third season, right? Is this third? Fourth? Fifth?
I don't know. We have Wikipedia, right? I don't have to know things.
Because I think this might be his third, and this is, that's probably like his only elimination ever.
He said, too, this is his second elimination ever.
Oh, so
I don't think he's ever actually lost an elimination before because he's not stayed around long enough.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he doesn't like strike me as like a powerhouse. I do think his reputation like precedes him, and he hasn't given us a chance to really see what he can do, and I don't really feel like he showed that this season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he beat Bruno. That was like pretty good, but
Beating a homeless guy is not going to get him much credit. I don't know. Is there a comp for him? I can't really think of one. I mean, there's a few
looks
people.
Like, sorry, this is his fourth because we're going to get in trouble. He was on. Oh, it says that he. This is weird. It said on Bloodline. Oh, no, he was medically removed from Bloodlines, like we said. Mm-hmm. He was disqualified for Rivals 3. No. Okay, sorry. Right. We're right.
This is third.
Thing was weird. This is his third and his first elimination.
Okay. So there you go.
Elimination.
Right. But yeah, I mean, I can't think. I don't know who he reminds me of story arc wise. But there's plenty of people who kind of sucked in the beginning and got better. I mean, Kara's like that. Kara sucked for a while.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I just think he's kind of overrated right now to his credit, he does a good job positioning himself with the right people and putting himself in power for the most part. Didn't do such a great job of doing that, but he was leading this like resistance alliance.
So there you go. That's about all the questions. Cover everything else. So that was it.
All right. I think that's it then. Yeah. I'm going to go take a nap.
All right. We'll be back. Ooh, that was loud. We'll be back next week for... It's annoying. I say episode 5. This technically was episode 6. So, but
fuck
we're
that
on noise. We're on our own schedule. Next week is episode 6. We'll be back then. You can subscribe at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me at Cohen Brian_. Follow you at Last Tweets. Until then, have a good one.